What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Monday Night Football tonight with the Bengals. The developing huge story is what is going on the Brian Robinson front. Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports announcing yesterday via his social accounts that he'd heard from league sources that Robinson was being shopped by Washington. And while that wasn't stunning, today's news might be to a lot of people, which was that mutually he and the team have decided that he's not going to play today while the team sorts out his future. And that was Mike Garofalo of NFL Media. So what does this mean, Danny? Essentially, the team is making calls trying to trade him, and while they do that, they and Robinson both think it's best that he doesn't play. I take that to mean they don't want him to get hurt so they could trade him. Yeah. Robinson doesn't think it's worth playing for a team where he hasn't locked in a roster spot. How can we possibly take that today other than that his days are numbered, and we've probably seen him play his final Commanders?
I'm looking for another explanation. I can't find one. Seriously, if this was just a rumor, okay, that, hey, he's falling down the pecking order and they might seek a trade, you still might see him play tonight, right? Trying to solidify, trying to climb back up those rankings, trying to make sure that everyone knows he's better than Demetric Felton or Chris Rodriguez or whoever you want to list. This basically says the nail is in the coffin. You're done here, right? And we both agree to that, and that's kind of all she wrote. If we can't trade you, we'll just cut you. That's what it feels like to me. Again, maybe there's some other element of it that I haven't considered or something at the 11th hour could change that, but that's how I'm viewing this.
Year four of his rookie deal. This is the fourth, the final season for Brian Robinson that he's going into. I just looked up some of the advanced numbers for him because I think everybody knows with the eyeballs when you watch, there isn't the explosiveness that you want at the running back position. There aren't home runs or extra base hits, as I call them. It is a lot of singles. But maybe, you know, he gets more than is there. Maybe it's a blocking issue, right? When you actually dive into the next-gen stats from last season, would you perceive that Brian Robinson faces eight-man boxes a lot as a big physical thumper who's running downhill?
Anecdotally, I would say, you know, nowhere, not like noticeably more. It felt average to me. I mean, Warren Sharp said he had the fifth easiest run defense schedule last year in the NFL and then produced lackluster numbers at best. So instinctively, I wouldn't say that he faced an inordinate number of eight-man boxes, but I could be wrong.
So the reason I would think sometimes a guy like him would have a higher percentage is when you look at the players who have the highest percentage of their runs against eight-man boxes in the league, it's a lot of times it's battering ram, goal line, short yardage guys. So like Gus Edwards last year is an example, or, you know, players like that that are brought in and you sound the horn that they're about to get the ball and everybody knows it for the pushing match, right? I say that, though, to say that when you look at the numbers, and I think this is the Jaden Daniels effect where you're petrified of him and you've got to keep guys for him to possibly keep the football on nakeds and boots. Out of 90 qualified running backs, Brian Robinson was 41st. In terms of the percentage of eight-man boxes he got last year, 41st. Mm. 40 guys more often than him as a percentage of their carry workload ran into eight-man boxes. So that should have boded very, very well for him. And yet and still, when you look at the numbers, he averaged about 4 yards per carry, which 3 years into his career is what he's been. He ranks 24th among NFL starters in rushing yards over attempt, expected per attempt, which is basically the metric that suggests, Danny, this is what you should get based on the chip data of where everybody is, and this is what you actually get. So if you have a plus number, you got more than the run was designed for and the blocking should have allowed for. If it's a minus number, then you got less than was there. He was 35th in terms of the percentage of his yards last year that were earned over expected. 35th. So, I mean, the metrics, the analytics, the deep dive stuff for the R&D department, which is growing with Washington, is not good. When they look up some of those numbers and they see the DVOA last year for Chris Rodriguez and Austin Eckler and Jeremy McNichols were all considerably better in the positives, 15% or higher, and he was at minus 4%. There's just not that many numbers, if you're doing it that way via the data, that are going to sing a positive song about him last year.
Yeah, even beyond that, 34% of his rushes went for one or fewer yards. I think he was for more in sharp, 20th in stuff rate. So that kind of, you know, bears out when you watch. There's too many of those. I think of the New Orleans game as the is kind of the classic one I think of with Brian Robinson. There were exceptions. The Titans game where everybody ran for 100 yards, where he's running untouched, you know, for 30, 40, 50. The freaky game against the Giants where he ran into a pile and everyone forgot about him and he emerged with a long carry. But for the most part, I think of that, you throw him in a line of scrimmage for zero. And now we're doing second and 10. Jaden Daniels, please save us. Right? I mean, that's kind of what it was in that game specifically. It's not fair to judge him on one, but to me, that's kind of the microcosm of what I'm talking about. It tells you a huge percentage of his carries went for nothing. And to me, the hallmark of Brian Robinson when it was right, and some of the yards per carry numbers are never going to be great with him, but it was what I always felt about Alfred Morris or some of these other guys. When it should go for one, he's dragging a guy kicking and screaming for 2.5 and almost three. Right? Now, the trade-off there is he's not breaking a homer. He's not making seven guys miss and spinning off contact and making the safety miss 25 yards down the field, just not who he is. But when there's only one there, he's getting you three. And that wasn't the case last year, despite the slight improvement in his part on yards per carry. So to me, this is just not where the league is right now in terms of what you're looking for in a running back. Can you pass pro? Are you excellent out of the backfield? Are you a threat to break one?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Do you have wiggle? Do you have the cutback? Do you have the one and go? It's just kind of a different style from a different time. He is a plotting thumper that has now been forced to line up out of the shotgun for the most part. He's probably
well. I want to go into those numbers too.
Yeah, he's better in an eye formation, I would say.
Well, you would imagine. So I looked up some of these numbers. He averaged 0.6 more yards per carry, so well over a half yard per carry last year. Better when they ran from under center with him as a deep back than out of the shotgun. Now, his shotgun numbers were not worse than his season totals, but that stands to reason because the vast majority of his work was that way, so that's probably going to be about your season average, which it was, 4.1. But when they gave him the rare carry from under center, he was actually up closer to 5 yards per carry. I actually think there is a path to him being a super helpful running back somewhere. I really do believe that. I don't view him as a 20-carry-a-game workhorse for a Super Bowl-caliber team, but I think there are fits. There are teams that could bring him in. I think the idea of shopping him actually makes sense because if you want a bit of a workhorse, a guy that could solve the game away with 13, 15 carries in the second half, that gets better with those touches and is a big physical guy that leans on people and is hard to tackle because of how strong he is between the tackles, I think there's a spot for him. I just don't love him as a fit here. This is not the regime that drafted him. This is not the offense that they envisioned him in when they took him. It's very different than what Ron Rivera and Scott Turner were running. If you look at, as another example, RPOs versus non-RPOs. He was better on non-RPOs last year than the run-pass option stuff that they did. All of those little metrics add up to me to go, if I'm Cliff Kingsbury, am I better off when he's on the field than when Merritt is? No, I don't think so. We still have to see him prove it, and he'll get a chance against the starting defense maybe to get some work tonight, put an exclamation point on their view of him. But I've said this since last year. When Chris Rodriguez comes out onto the field, who is a sixth-round pick, who they cut at the end of training camp last year, who may or may not make the team this year, I don't think you fall off at all from Brian Robinson. I would actually make the case, based on the numbers, that you get better. But if you want to tell me Robinson's better, that's fine. He got drafted 3 rounds earlier. He's gotten a lot more carries from multiple coaching staffs. You cannot convince me that he's significantly better than Chris Rodriguez, and that's a big problem.
It certainly is if you're Brian Robinson or part of his camp. Yeah, I mean, I said this, it just feels like I'm piling on the guy, but I said it when he was drafted a handful of years ago, even after his promising rookie year. And again, what he endured and went through is incredible. It's absurd that it happened, that he was shot in the leg And then, you know, had a football season after that. Just insane. But it's just not the style that I'm into. And it's certainly not the style that fits this regime. The way Cliff Kingsbury's offense is spread you out, everything's quick hitting, it's, you know, get guys in space, etc. There are 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 guys I'd rather have in space with the football in their hands than him. So that's kind of what would govern it for me. Now, you know, I wouldn't just move on from him because, again, I think you said it, there is a place. I'm going to line up under center here and there. I'm going to have a third and one, and I wouldn't mind having that guy thump a couple times. But, you know, if he's not into the spirit of it, in other words, if he's going to take it as a demotion and be, you know, tough to be around and kind of bring my vibe down, then I suppose we can move on because I've got Chris Rodriguez to do that, to your point. But it is, to me, I'm way more surprised than you, it seems like. I don't want to put words in your mouth. I thought we were going to do the Brian Robinson thing this year. And I thought that until, you know, I read the initial report today that they were, or whenever it was, that they were looking to shop him. I'm really, really, really surprised that we've gotten to this point. Again, based on their off-field or off-season actions in terms of how they addressed the position or didn't really, and B, by the fact that, you know, all it took was a nice showing here for a couple of months from, it looks like, a seventh rounder and the rest of the guys that they've accumulated that don't have huge, excellent resumes in the NFL for being bell cows to look like they're going to move on from a guy that led the team in carries last year.
Yeah, I guess for me, the reason I'm not that surprised, I mean, I would have bet on him leading them in carries as recently as Friday. I mean, I'm not acting like I thought they were going to cut him or trade him necessarily. But if you were to have told me Friday afternoon they're going to do that, it would not have really stunned me. This is not them moving on from Laramie Tunsil or Terry McLaurin, mm-hmm. or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The running back position, I just view it, when you don't have a star like a Saquon Barkley or a Bijan Robinson from Atlanta, then it's kind of moving furniture around in a lot of ways. And the way they do it especially, I look at this as a number of carries that need to be divvied up. Think about it like a workload.
Yep.
Hours at the office that need to be handled by a number of people on your team, so to speak. They have, on any given day, somewhere between 13 on a low end and like 23 on a high end carries for their running back position in most games, or just carries in general that might be necessary. There's going to be games where Jaden Daniels runs 15 times. Like, we saw that multiple times last year. He runs a lot. So the import of this running back carry thing goes down a little bit for them in their situation. Now you have Deebo Samuel, who will occasionally line up in the backfield, who more than any receiver in the league has some running back ability. So now the importance of your running back goes down a little bit as well. When you look at it, look at his average per game last year. If it's around a dozen to 15 carries, whether it's him or someone that's more explosive like Merritt, I guess my point is it's not that big of a deal for them to make a change here. Like, for them to stick their neck out there and make a big move would be if they did something with a Marshawn Lattimore or a Daron Payne or some critical player making a ton of money. Mm-hmm. Robinson on his rookie contract makes next to nothing, is not their guy, and it's a position where week to week you could just find a dude. Like, Timmy Smith went for two Bills in a Super Bowl that one time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do know exactly what you mean. And it looks like that's the plan. It's you know, not a lot of marquee names just yet, but there's depth there. And, you know, Eckler's going to have his role of, he was on pace for probably about 100 carries overall. Obviously, a number of injuries, and those are, they're scary ones, so I'm not diminishing those. But you would think you would keep him around that same number. You'd probably have Daniels in the 120, 125 carry. He went for 148 last year, right? Just what you'd budget for, both via scrambles and the occasional design thing. So of your 500 runs and change, you've already basically taken half of them off the board. So you don't need Billy the Bell Cow when you've got, you know, Akroski Merritt, you've got McNichols, you've got Rodriguez. Those guys, two of those three guys, you could probably get to the practice squad a couple times and have them active certain days, game days, et cetera, as people get banged up. So you're going to do this committee, a true committee, I think, for the running back spot, at least for a while.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.